So I have a message for you. I've been thinking all week in Canada, right, as Lynn and I was zooming around and visiting our granddaughters, two of them, and our son and daughter-in-law and their family, and they live on a farm in Prince Edward Island, Canada. And so it was really fun. Thank you guys for letting us go. And good to see our granddaughter, first time, Lily. And so the whole time I'm thinking, I'm praying about the message, you know, and something came to me, and I started dwelling over it and studying a little bit here and there, you know, as we travel around. And so I know it's Independence Day, but 4th of July is like Thursday, so it's like way off. So I don't know. This is the direction I wanted to go. This morning's message is called Smoked Mullet and Cornbread. Smoked Mullet and Cornbread. So we're going to take a look at that this morning. I'm excited to see how this goes. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Lord, we do take time to thank you for living in America. And Lord, we always want to just not be grateful about that. And thank you, Lord, that we are here in this free country. And thank you for all the men and women who have paid the price to keep our country free. And thank you for the vision that you gave all those old-timers years ago to come to a new land and so we can worship you without worrying about persecution or somebody kicking in our doors and shutting us down. We don't ever, ever, ever want to take that for granted. So we thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for everything you're doing in our church. Thank you for Pauline Baptist. Lord, it is good to be home. I ask you to bless this word this morning. Help me teach it and preach it in the way that you put it on my heart. Lord, I love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 21, verse 1 through 14. John chapter 21, 1 through 14. So let's read. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee. That's kind of fun to say. The sons of Zebedee. Everybody say it. Zebedee. Isn't that fun? Sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Verse 9, when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, the fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Wonder who counted them, you know. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. Verse 14, this was now the third time Jesus revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now I want you to imagine with me a breakfast full of smoked and grilled fish and warm bread on the beach just after an all-nighter at work. And I say smoked fish because if you read the scripture, Jesus had already made some charcoal and already had some fish up there before they got there. So it's fun for me just to imagine a little bit, you know, that maybe he had been smoking this fish. And if you study the fish, because, you know, because originally he said, come on up and I'll bring some more, and I'll bring some, you know, I'll cook some more for you. So those he probably grilled, you know, he got right down to it and grilled it up for him. So I like to imagine that he smoked these mullet. Now, if you study the fish that Peter and all those guys caught back in the day, even now, the main fish in that area were mullet and tilapia. Now, tilapia, right? I just want to, you know, in the country, I'm just going to imagine that he cooked mullet. But I don't really think we really know for sure. But it's just fun for me. But anyway, so back to the beach. You're watching the sunrise, and you're surrounded by your closest friends, and guess who your host is? It's the recent risen Savior of the world. This is one of my favorite scenes in the Bible. It really is. And I imagine one day that I would be able to, you know, hang out with Jesus on the beach, eating smoked fish. I just think that would be awesome. Now, let me ask you, put yourselves in the shoes of the disciples. You probably were very emotional. You probably were very tired. You've already, you know, worked all night. You've been living and hanging out and walking around with Jesus for months and months and months and months. You've watched all this go on. So you're probably really exhausted. He also gave you something to do. Jesus himself said, just as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. So here you are. You're certain that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, who has risen from the dead, but you are not certain what to do next. And that's kind of the picture that I see. They're hanging out on the beach. Some of them are laying over against a big rock. Some of them are laid back, you know, flat on the sand, just looking there, hanging out, wondering, what do we do now? Man, thinking about all they've been through. I know it might be kind of funny, but sometimes I think it was kind of like Pumbaa and Timon from, what's his name? Timon and Pumbaa from The Lion King, you know, just sitting there looking, thinking, the disciples just kind of wondering what's going on. That's where they're at. So in this message this morning, if you're taking notes, there's two main points I want to bring out. Two major points. And here's the first one. Get up and do it. Get up and do it. The second point is, Jesus will be there to help you. Second point, Jesus will be there to help you. Now let's take a quick look at these first three verses, okay? It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. I'm not trying to be funny, but every time I hear Tiberias, all I think about is Captain Kirk. You know what I'm talking about? That was his name on Star Trek. How many remember that? Wow, thank you, man. I feel better. Huh? Yes, exactly. So every time I hear that, I can't get it out of my mind. I told myself I was not going to do what I just did. I'm not going to bring that up every time I would study this. So anyway, back in verse 2, it talks about the men, the disciples that were on the beach right there. And then it goes into verse 3 and gets really into what Peter said. Peter said to them, what? I'm going fishing. And then they said to him, well, we'll go with you. So here's point one. Peter got up. He's hanging out there on the beach. He's sitting there. He's experienced all this stuff that's happened in his life with Christ. Death, burial, resurrection. Jesus appeared to him twice. Jesus finally, you know, appeared to them the third time. And Peter got up. So the first point is, get up and do it. I believe that Peter got tired of just sitting there and made a decision to do something. He made a decision to do something. Go to work. Go to work. James 2:26 says this. James 2:26 is our memory verse for today. It says, "For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead." And then James 1:22 says this. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." I don't know for sure, but Peter probably was sitting there on that beach. He's probably one of those laying out. He's probably sitting on a beach, and this is probably what he thought. He probably thought, well, we've walked with Jesus. We've talked with Jesus. We've listened to Jesus. We watched him suffer, die on the cross. And Father God raised him from the grave. We also saw him and talked with him twice after his resurrection. Now, he also have already told us what to do. To go. That's simple. To go. So Peter just got up and went. Where did he go? Where did he go? He went straight back to what he knew how to do. He went back to work. He said, "I'm going fishing." He didn't call a committee. He didn't plan a session. He didn't say, "Who? How many? Show of hands. Who wants to go with me?" No, he said, "I'm going fishing." He said, "You boys can sit right here if you want to and think about this and wonder about what we should do next, but I'm going fishing." I can see that. Peter got back to life. He got back to working and taking care of his family. I believe a lot of church folks want to really follow Peter's example of this kind of commitment to life. And what I'm talking about, this commitment to work and to family. You see, God is looking for people that want to work. I can go different rabbit trails with that one, but I'm going to stay on this trail right here. God is looking for people to work in the church, in the ministry. Not just being a pastor or a preacher or evangelist. I'm talking about just working in the church. He needs ministers. He needs missionaries, not only in our local community, but around the world. Matthew 9:36-38. Everyone's familiar with this. Matthew 9:36-38. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Amen. Currently, right now at Pauline Baptist Church, we need a WMU director, a children's church minister, a nursery director, an usher director, and a school teacher for kindergarten and 1- and 2-year-olds. Is God calling you to meet one of these ministry needs? Then get up and do it. Is God calling you to go back to college or further your education? Then get up and do it. Is God calling you to short-term or long-term missions? Then get up and do it. Is God calling you to make some difficult change in your life? Is He calling you to maybe change jobs or get a different job? Then get up and do it. Get a resume together and fill out applications. Is God calling you to improve your marriage? Then get up and do it. Sign up for a marriage seminar. Read a book about how to be a better father, better husband, better spouse. I don't like to read. So what? What's that got to do with it? Get up and do it. Is God calling you to get out of debt? Then get up and do it. Stop borrowing more than you can pay back. Start paying down some of those smaller loans one little bit at a time until you get out of debt. Is God calling you to lose weight or get fit? Then get up and do it. Exercise and eat right. Has God called you to travel more and spend more time with your family? Quality time. Then get up and do it. Book that cruise. Stop talking about it. Make plans to go. Even small little plans. And spend quality time with your family. I'll tell you a quick story. When we were coming back from Canada, we were still in Canada, and Margaret, Lynn's sister Margaret from California, texted us and said, we're thinking about going to Hawaii next year in the summer of 2020, and we've got some of our nephews, Lynn's family, wanting to go to. I'm like, let's do it. Let's book it. Oh, we're not that serious about it yet. And like, don't talk to me about going to Hawaii next summer. Let's book it. I'll put it on a redneck layaway program. Pay them $50 a month, right? That's how we do our stuff. We'll book it out a year or two in advance and pay them $52 a month, you know, to pay it off. Nothing wrong with that, right? Can I get an amen? So, you know, I was like, tell Margaret that don't talk to her. We haven't got that detailed plans yet. So what? Come on. Let's do it. Now, verse 3, Peter gives us an example of leadership 101. Do you know the difference between a boss and a leader? Some of you have talked about this before. But a boss says go. A leader says let's go. A boss says go. A leader says let's go. See, when you follow Jesus, others will follow you. Look at the scripture here in verse 3, right? We've read it a couple of times. Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. What did they say? It was like, oh, hey. Okay, we'll go with you. The scripture right here, though, makes a very strong point. Let's don't overlook this. Sometimes our actions will not always produce results right away. Because, see, you know, they fished all night and didn't catch a thing. Which brings us to point two. So here's point two. Point two is Jesus will be there to help you. Jesus will be there to help you. Now, let's read it again. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Here it is, my friends. If God is calling you, if God is calling you to work in some form of ministry, if God's calling you to work in some kind of volunteer position, or maybe just God is calling you to make a serious change in your life, just as Jesus showed up on that beach and cooked those men breakfast, he will show up in your life. He will be there. You can trust in him to help you. He will meet your needs. He loves you and cares about every area of your life. Is he calling you to teach a Sunday school class? He will be there to help you. Is he calling you to be a leader in our church? He will be there to help you. Is he calling you to missions? He will be there to help you. Is he calling you to change a difficult area in your life? He will be there to help you. Is he calling you to spend more quality time with your family and friends and enjoy this life on earth he has given us? Yes, he will be there for that too. In our recent adventures to Maine and Canada, we saw God's hand in everything that we did. I mean everything. Everywhere we went and every place we stayed, we had no doubt God was directing our steps. We were amazed at the tiny details of His love shown toward us. Right? I don't have the time to even explain to you how every little thing, even little hiccups, God just worked it all out. For 7 days, we were living a Hallmark movie. And our Father God was a director and producer. While in Canada, I heard a moving story about a couple of horses. So I'm going to kind of read this part with you, okay? So hang on with me. While in Canada, I heard a moving story about a couple of horses who had been left in their stall for 3 months. Their owner was an elderly lady who was sick. Now, they were fed by her grandson, but no one had cleaned out their stall or let them out for several months. Then the stall was finally opened and the horses refused to exit. They refused to leave. These were horses, mind you, that were frolicking, playing, running, having a good time. But after being left alone for so long, they had forgotten who they were designed to be. They preferred to stand in their own dirty stall than experience freedom. But after a few days of love and folks helping them, they regained their trust to leave the barn. As soon as they saw the pasture, they took off, bolted out of the gates, and returned to their joyful, playful, awesome selves. What I learned through this story is that people are sometimes like this too. We lose sight of who we are and whose we are. We come to believe that there is nothing else, that this is good as it gets. And we resign ourselves to the life without purpose and meaning. And just as those horses needed new life breathed into them, so the disciples needed encouragement on that day in the beach. All of us, all of our souls and our bodies need to be refreshed. We need rest from time to time. That may include something very tangible, like going off to a dinner or having a big cookout with family. Sometimes it may mean going off by yourself and having a time of serenity, just peace and quiet. Jesus knew that what the disciples needed most at that moment was simply to fellowship and eat. I love the fact that Jesus Himself cooked the meal for His weary disciples. God cares about us. He cares about nourishing His children spiritually and physically. Especially those who are running the race. Christian friends, are you running the race for Christ? Are you serving God by serving people? Are you serving Jesus by serving your family? My friends, do you know Jesus this morning? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Will you trust Him this morning? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray if there's one here this morning that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, during this song of invitation, I pray they will come down and we can pray together. Or if there's someone here that would like to join our church, this will be a good time. And Father, maybe someone wants to get baptized. I just want to open that up too. We thank you, Jesus. We pray that your will be done this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.